Good morning, welcome to the Sunday, December 11th, 2016 edition of Waking Up, Freeing Ourselves from Work. And that was the last chapter of the Rainbow Children. And I'm thinking that I need a little time to combine all the different pieces and maybe put out a little PDF so folks can read it as a whole and think about it. And I'm considering maybe the Christmas or New Year's show devoted to a discussion of the Rainbow Children. So hope you guys think about it as well. I realize now that I've finally discovered Prince, how closely you have to pay attention to his music. There's so much in it. And just now hearing the conclusion last December, thinking at the very end, the sound of the plane or whatever that is, the roaring, and the way in which he grounds us in the reality of this challenge before us. The fact that this is not something that's going to be easy, but it is something that must be. Sisters and brothers, here's a joke. The global state wants us to believe that it, totalitarian central, can save us. Can save us from fascism. It even brings in an unknowing representative from Suppression Subcentral, Station Russia, from the band Pussy Riot, to warn us about creeping totalitarianism. When we first considered the issue of the recruitment and duping of young people in the Waking Up radio show of September 16, 2012, we titled that Richard Aoki and the Abandonment of Children. We concluded that we have to provide to young people an alternative story, i.e., the truth, and discussion of the critical censored issues of our time, the primary one being the theft of our lives and the hidden authority that accomplishes it, the shadow state. which creates hardship and makes the strings that bind us to it, to the state, and then puts in place elaborate ways to pull them. How much time, and this is a somewhat of a long aside that I felt I needed to address something in the New York Times, how much time to devote to even just the most egregious among their propaganda campaigns is always an issue, given our priority of developing our vision of and confidence in a global alternative to class. But as the supposed inevitability presented as inherent in human nature, or even beneficial quality of violence in human society, is a key prop the power guys rely on to justify their existence, I'll mention a really offensive example of this one that was highlighted in the December 7, 2016 New York Times, titled History's Dilemma for Humanity, Stark Inequality, or All-Out War, by Eduardo Porter, who writes, quote, delivering deep and lasting reductions in inequality may be impossible absent catastrophic events. I guess they're trying to prepare us for still more. Beyond anything any of us would wish for. From the Stone Age to the present, ever since humankind produced a surplus to hoard economic development, because they introduced that con right there, economic development has almost always led to greater inequality, and so that becomes a tautology when they do that. There is one big thing with the power to stop this dynamic, and tautology is what totalitarianism is about. It is self-reflecting. Once you get stuck in its logic, you are stuck in it. There's one big thing, says the propaganda piece, that can stop this dynamic, but it's not pretty violence. Well, no, not so much, and that's an unquote. No matter how often scholars like Proudhon and Peter Kropotkin, whose lengthy study, Mutual Aid, A Factor of Evolution, arrives at the opposite conclusion, and Terence K. Hopkins and Karl Popper and many, many, many others, who show us that the history the power guys glorify but tracks the depths to which their own soullessness will go. For instance, Popper wrote, quote, what people have in mind when they speak of the history of mankind is rather the history of the Egyptian, Babylonian, Persian, Macedonian, and Roman empires, and so on, down to our own day. In other words, they speak about the history of mankind, but what they mean and what they've learned about in school is the history of political power. This is elevated into the history of the world. But this, I hold, is an offense against every decent conception of mankind. It is hardly better than to treat the history of embezzlement or of robbery or of poisoning as the history of mankind. For the history of power politics is nothing but the history of international crime and mass murder, including, it is true, some of the attempts to suppress them. This history is taught in schools, and some of the greatest criminals are extolled as its heroes. A third reason why power politics has been made the core of history is that those in power wanted to be worshipped and could enforce their wishes. Many historians wrote under the supervision of the emperors, the generals, and the dictators. What is behind this theistic historicism? With Hegel, it looks upon history, political history, as a stage, or rather, as a kind of lengthy Shakespearean play, and the audience conceive either the great historical personalities, quote unquote, or mankind in the abstract as the heroes of the play. Then they ask, who has written this play? And they think they have given a pious answer when they reply, God, but they are mistaken. Their answer is pure blasphemy, for the play was, and they know it, written not by God, but under the supervision of generals and dictators, by the professors of history. And my interjection, this is, of course, the very point Prince is making in his song, Act of God, released in 2010, on the CD, in the CD 2010, posted for our November 13, 2016 show. He says, funny how nobody's holy books are the same. Everybody's God got a different name. The day that is over is the end of the game. And they call it an act of God. Hey, it will be all over when the people are free. Free to be who and what they want to be. Wherever we go, it's up to you and me. Call it an act of God. We are so tired. Said we are through with fear. There never was no hell or boogeyman here. If he was seen, look, he was in your mirror. Call it an act of God. Call it what you want, except an act of God. Continuing with Popper, to maintain that God reveals himself in what is usually called history is indeed blasphemy. For what really happens within the realm of human lives is hardly ever touched upon by this cruel and at the same time childish affair. The life of the forgotten, of the unknown individual man, his sorrows and his joys, his suffering and death. This is the real content of human experience down the ages. All the history which exists, our history of the great and the powerful, is at best a shallow comedy. It is the opera buffa, played by the powers behind reality, or not now they are they are stepping out in front and totally disappearing what Popper calls reality, which is us, we, the people. It is what, says Popper, it is what one of our worst instincts, the idolatrous worship of power, of success, has led us to believe to be real. And we are learning, thanks to a whole bunch of folks like Karl Popper, how that is a conditioned belief on our part by systematically eliminating all other stories for us to hear, as he's saying himself when he talks about the history that's written up in schools and with which we are indoctrinated. And I've been quoting from Karl Popper, The Open Society and Its Enemies, Volume 2, The High Tide of Prophecy, Hegel, Marx, and the Aftermath. And I've included that quote in Beginning Again, small booklet I've written, a free PDF you can download from the tools page of the Nascent's website. No matter how often our scholars of heart show that we are cooperative and empathic by nature, no matter how vocally our own hearts or the joyfulness of a cherished child show us the same, power cannot stop trying to get us to believe the opposite. It is, as I said, one of their key props. The shadow global statesmen create hardship to maintain dominance over us and to justify, quote unquote, the existence of the state. A key suppressed discussion, therefore, that we should be having with our young people is that we are made by the earth to be fully, materially and spiritually, self-sufficient, as well as cooperative. And so the requirement, quote unquote, of the global state statesman, 10,000 guys at most, to govern us requires that they shatter our wholeness, stifle our thought process, and suffocate our ability to grow continuously as we are meant. So we should ask ourselves, are enough of us doing this, having these discussions with young people, encouraging them to think through the core suppressed issues of class? And are we providing the terms and concepts, the language that would allow young people to do this?